Okay, we get it. Hi, it's Emily here, and I know that everyone is excited about football season approaching, but you know what you should truly be absolutely thrilled for? Yeah, I said it. Wait, I didn't actually say it yet. The Winter Olympics. That's right. Friday, February 4th. Be there or be square. Figure skating, ice hockey, curling, bobsledding, skiing. I know there's probably other sports in the Winter Olympics, but we will get to that because football aside, baseball aside, basketball aside, we're all excited about the Winter Olympics. February 4th on a Friday. Oh yeah, by the way, this is Nick and Dick on Sports, and I don't think they're going to be talking about the Olympics. Sorry.
Thank you, and welcome to episode 162, Nick and Dick on Sports podcast. We are recording at 10:26 a.m. on Tuesday, October the 26th. The assistant host of the program, Nicholas Hajda. What's up, my guy? What's up, buddy?
Oh, I almost got my nuts caught in the vending machine.
What's going on with Nick? He's been real, like, sexual innuendo heavy lately.
Has he?
Are you getting sex and it's causing it, or are you... Because your lack of sex is so steady.
Why are you
asking
a stupid question, Dave?
Your lack of sex is so steady that the spike in innuendos doesn't match. But
first
you
of all,
keep mentioning the girl from the pool with the boobs in the rain. Isn't that who you hung out with at the barbecue? So I'm like, is...
I guess I did say that. I'm just worried about you putting... Just keep my sex out of your mouth, Dave, okay?
The ass to the ass. That's Dave B. What's up, my guy?
Woo! What is up, bitches? I am so happy to see you fuckers, even though you always go down my street, past my house, and never say hi. It's nice to see y'all's faces.
Because I know that's a Houston Texans house. I ain't going in there, man.
Even though I was at your house 2 weeks ago, when I was driving down that street, I guess 2 days ago, I'm always like, which one is Dave's house again? They all look the same. And
my car's in the front yard.
That's what I was like. Was your car there on Sunday?
Yes.
I couldn't. I was like, I don't think I saw it. I don't know which. I never know which one.
I know
Dave's
it's an
house.
Uber.
Keep it up.
Yeah. How was the F1 Uber?
Oh, you're
going
to get bothered about my jokes.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah.
Nice. Good. Good, good. Okay, let's just get right to it, if you will. Real quick, the World Series starts tonight. Nick, name a pitcher from the World Series.
Justin Verlander.
Nope. Strike one.
Max Scherzer.
No. Strike two.
Eliminated in the last round. At least Verlander hadn't played in a year.
Chris Sale.
Why do you know
Strike
all the rest of
three, you're out.
Yeah.
God damn it. Oh, Verlander's an Astro.
He's been out for a year.
Scherzer,
but he's still
Dodger,
on the team.
Chris Sale.
He hasn't pitched in 2021. Sure.
Who's the coach of the Chargers?
Joe Staley.
No.
Which I got to tell you, man.
Real close.
I don't know if he's on the soda program, but he has lost a lot of weight since being an offensive guard for the 49ers.
Uh-huh.
Kudos to you, Joe Staley.
Brandon's,
looking good.
Brandon
yeah,
Staley.
Yeah, I know. I just want you to have it.
That's fine. I have Astros in five. Do y'all have baseball takes?
Astros in six.
I don't have any. I mean, like, I have no conviction in it because I haven't watched baseball all season. I have no idea. I don't know what to
say. The Braves are better than you think. I just think
they?
That the, yeah.
I don't think about them, so it's on.
But to me, the Braves were like the Bengals, or, like, they always make the playoffs, but they don't win. So I don't have faith in them actually defeating the Astros, whether the Astros are cheating or just doing it legitimately. Especially if they're cheating. You got no shot, Braves.
Look, I feel like such a phony talking baseball, but that's what we're here to do. At least I admit my phoniness. Like, I'm finding out all these fun facts about the Astros that people have just known forever. Mm-hmm. For example, Yuli Gurriel is the oldest batting champion since Barry Bonds. Because you know what they say, Cuban don't crack.
I like that. Have you used it before? That's good. Put that in the PM. That's good. Can't get in trouble. That's good.
Because I didn't, like, he's 37. And I was like, that motherfucker's 37 years old? And I guess he's a...
Because he's got a fuckboy haircut.
And it makes me, like, now that the Astros are known cheaters, it makes me, like, stop and be like, hang on, what's going on? Because, like, he didn't make it to the bigs until he was 30-something. And then all of a sudden he becomes a hit machine, a batting average machine when he's 37 years old, which that's another thing, baseball people. I guess the batting title doesn't mean shit anymore. because batting average is a stupid stat.
Yeah.
Like now, if you're not into OPS or WARP or something like that, like batting average, like I was just trying to Google, you know, the batting type, batting leaders, and it's hard to even find the stat. Like if you go down the baseball reference page, they're like, here's the stat for all you old fogies. But yeah, he led the American League in batting, 37 years old. Yuli Gurriel, and that makes me think, what's going on there? How does a motherfucker just waste away in the minor leagues for a million years and shows up and 37 years old, has the best season of his career?
I don't know. How does the home run king have a head that's like eight sizes bigger? It's interesting.
What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Yuli Gurriel?
Who?
Is it the title?
Are you gonna say that he did the racist eye gesture thing?
Yeah, that's what bums me out. Yeah. That's the first thing that comes to my mind, which stinks because he's a good player and it was like a one-off shitty thing, but it was just on such a huge stage and such a bad look, unnecessary. I don't fucking get why he did it.
Yeah.
Because he's a stupid athlete.
Who was he? Was he referencing the former Ranger guy, Yu Darvish, right?
Yeah, but
he was on the Dodgers at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that was... No, I mean, look, I like those four players who are left over. Like, I think his story is interesting. He's the batting title. You got a little bitty Jose Altuve there who can just do it all. Carlos Correa is like the heart, the leader of the team. And then Alex Bregman's the most talented, even though he's a fucking asshole.
Is he an asshole?
I don't know. Can't you just look at him and be like,
he's an LSU guy. He's not an asshole. He's probably He's down for a good time.
Exhibit A.
I would just say the name alone, Bregman.
Do you know, like when they say Breggy bombs? When he hits the home runs?
I know
you don't watch the regular broadcast, the regular season. Joe Buck, he's not dropping any of those Breggy bombs.
Breggy bombs? Who is that John Smoltz? Is it Buck and Smoltz on the is that the number one team for baseball?
Yes.
Okay. I don't
John
mind
the Smoltz, pitcher.
Thank you, Nick.
The Cubs? He was on the Cubs.
It was close. So you're thinking of Maddox.
You're doing Greg Maddox, who was his teammate on the Braves. Maddox was with the Cubs, but made his name as an Atlanta Brave.
John Smoltz.
Both of them.
Okay.
Greg Maddox is known as a
the Braves
brave.
Was like the obvious answer, so I was trying to go next level with the Cubs. I'm gonna research him. I bet you he played some time on a Cubs team.
John Smoltz?
Yeah.
Are the Braves like the Buffalo Bills of the MLB?
How do you mean? Because they were always good.
So like they were. I guess you could draw the comparison to the Patriots because they had the division titles for like 17 years. But then
Justice.
They'd always get far and not clinch. They only have one World Series during Bobby Cox.
95.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I said earlier.
What I would say is that's baseball. Like, what percentage of time do you think the best team wins the World Series?
58.
Yeah, that's why I don't like. That's why I don't like it. You know what I mean?
But it's fun to go.
Oh, I love going to baseball games.
They got to find a way to make the funness of being there translate through the TV. I don't know how you do that.
VR, Oculus Rift.
You should play a different game.
A bat.
Have a guy walk up and down the aisles of my house with a tub of Bud Light and hot dogs.
You should make Bumbleito do that.
Could we get the coming up to bat music coming in through louder instead of the announcers talking? Just like little extra things
something to be in the mix.
Yeah.
To change that up.
Instead of having to like strain to hear it in the background?
Here, legitimate baseball question, which I've asked several times before, and I already know the answer to, but we'll put it out there. If the Astros win the World Series here, are they somehow vindicated for the terrible things?
No, 100%.
No.
Look at this. Here we go.
They're still cheating.
Welcome back to First Take. Stephen A., you say that it doesn't matter what the Astros do, they are going to be cheaters forever. Not Stephen A. Who's not Stephen A. now?
I'm not Stephen A.
Have you seen the...
Oh, I don't know. A combination of people. Mina's one of them.
Are they going to...
Tim Tebow?
Are they going to get a permanent replacement? I think it's just going to be...
No.
Wasn't that originally Woody Page?
No. I don't ever remember him being on First Take.
Well, but the evolution of that whole thing, I'm pretty positive it started on Cold Pizza. Do you remember the show Cold Pizza?
Yeah.
And they had the debate desk. It's like, let's go over to the debate desk where it was Skip Bayless and Woody Page. And then they're like, this whole show sucks, except for the debate desk. We're going to keep the debate desk, give it its own show. And that's how First Take was born. And it was never Woody Page there. It was Stephen A. and Skip Bayless. And then they replaced Skip Bayless with Max Kellerman. And apparently Stephen A. doesn't care for Max Kellerman. Have you watched that show?
The new Max Kellerman show?
I think it's called This Just In. I was like, wow, what a clever title. But it's basically just, it's a fancy personality style sports center. It's Scott Van Pelt at 11 a.m.
Do you like Max? I like Max.
I medium like Max. We got off to a bad start because I thought he was a really bad around the horn host. And so I did not care for, like, he wanted to make himself the star of the show on Around the Horn. As where when reality got there, it's like, oh, this is exactly what you need. It's just an affable dude who will wrangle all the people. As where Max Kellerman was so, he was tyrannical with those mute buttons. Way too punitive with the scoring sticks.
Look at the big brain on Jason. Yeah. Tyrannical,
Tony
punitive.
Does this stuff all the time.
Fucking, yeah, you know, I know.
I don't watch Around the Horn, so I don't know. But he was a real
first
asshole.
First Take started Jay Crawford, Dana Jacobson. No Woody Page.
Bullshit.
On the Wikipedia page.
Dana Jacobson. Talk about someone who regrets getting wasted one night.
What did she do?
She got wasted at some Michigan thing and got on the mic and started talking like crazy, just like nothing racist, but just like made an ass of herself. And then shortly thereafter, within like 6 months, she was no longer
Aaron
on
Rogers
ESPN.
She wanted to fuck him and then go home with Clay Matthews.
Michelle Beadle?
Yeah.
She's a nice lady.
You're saying she should have got drunk and went into the wrong hotel room.
I guess. I don't know. But she's like, because now I think she's a sideline reporter for CBS or some shit.
Enjoying all this insider broadcast television talk here.
It's better than baseball.
You know, I saw the other day, and I guess I knew this, Lindsay Zarniak is a sideline reporter for one of the things.
But Fox,
that's
with
probably
Vilma.
A good gig. What do you say? You say now she's a Fox sideline reporter for CBS.
But, I mean, she was hosting a show on ESPN.
Well, that's what Lindsay Zarniak used to be, the noon SportsCenter host. And I thought she was pretty good in that role, and SportsCenter, LOL, what is that even anymore? But I was just glad to see that she's not, and maybe that's what she does Monday. I was going to say, I'm just glad to see that she's not, doing local sports news in Bozeman or something like that. That's twice this week I've referenced Bozeman. Can you guys tell that I just went there? I now know of a town in the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, I don't know what, because you surely have to have another job if you're just an NFL sideline reporter.
She's also the studio host for Fox Sports' NASCAR coverage.
Lindsay Zarniak?
Yeah.
Really? Dave, spell Zarniak.
It starts with a C, then a Z, then a Y.
Nope.
Hold on. An R. Z-Y-R.
Nope.
God damn it. It's got to be an A, right?
It's an A. Yeah. Z-Z-A-R-N-I-A-K.
Yeah. Lindsay Zarniak. Where was I? I'm now like
Dana Jacobson.
I'm eight tangents
wait,
deep.
Wait, no. Woody Page. Baseball.
It's so good to be back.
You backed it all the way up. That was good. Woody Page was never on First Take, but that idea originated on Cold Pizza. What is First Take was originally happening on Cold Pizza. It was Woody Page v. Skip Bayless.
That sounds vaguely familiar, yes.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Woody Page should sue Stephen A. Smith for all
Woody
the
Page money. Should be happy for everything that he's gotten out of life.
It is kind of amazing to me. Like, of all those guys,
like, you're just lucky that you're not as terrible as Jay Mariotti.
I was just going to say, man, you want to talk about somebody who fucked up once and then...
fuck up was big.
Probably a lot of times.
And he's an asshole. Like, being a nice person will get you far in life.
None of those people.
Woody
are nice
Page
people.
Is the all-time leader in Around the Horn wins, right?
Yep.
And that's crazy to me because he's like one of the worst, stupidest people on that show.
Longevity, bro.
I don't think he's funny, and I definitely don't think he's insightful and knows what the fuck he's talking about.
I mean, I kind of enjoy his shtick a little bit, but I can only take it in small doses.
But yeah, Jay Mariotti was on his way to being a. I guess I'd say a poor man Stephen A. Smith type. And then what did he do? Didn't he beat somebody up?
Yeah, I believe he got wasted and beat up his
some
girlfriend.
His girlfriend.
Yeah. Shouldn't have done that, you dumb fuck.
Woody Page and Skip Bayless were added to in a series of segments called First and Ten, moderated by Jay Crawford. And then, yeah, that eventually became First Take.
See? I could do the oral history of ESPN just for my brain, all right? What else do you want to know? Okay, so it's Bob Lee and
did you ever finish that book?
Chris Boomer. Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to borrow it.
I'd recommend it. I mean, now it's going to be like super dated and stuff like
that.
Are
the pages sticky?
Hold on. Back to the debate desk for a hot talk on baseball. Nick says the Astros are still cheaters. Dave says
that's where we were.
they could be vindicated if they win here. Dave, you go first.
I mean, how could they not? Look, so first and foremost, the one that they won does stink and is asterisk. They cheated. But everyone was cheating. They just took it too fucking far. They win this one clean. Everyone's playing clean. How can you argue that? Obviously, their talent shows that
the idea that they're playing clean. Case closed. They're not. It's baseball.
You don't
think
that they learned their lesson?
No.
Well, they were just talking in the past series against the Red Sox how they still have to go to the card to change up the signs anytime there's runners on second because people are still doing the things to cheat. It's all cheating. It's just to what degree of cheating. Do you guys not remember that? Definitely Buck made a point to talk about it in one of the last two games where there was a runner on second. And I forget what the pitcher was, but he was one of the Astros relievers. He had to pull out an index card and look at it because they're changing what their normal signs are to go through stuff so the runner on second can't tip anything to the batter.
I mean, look, honestly, I want to sit here and tell you that they should know what the pitcher should have to be like. It's a fastball because they're pitching too fast. It's hard to hit. I'm fine with that. But just the Astros are cheaters. And
but they're not cheating now.
No, bullshit.
Okay.
Bullshit. They're out, and their organization is toxic, and they just prioritize winning over any kind of decency.
That guy that was toxic.
That guy. Yeah, and the NFL got John Gruden out of there, so now it's all sunshine and daisies.
They got rid of the Acuna, right? That was toxic. They got rid of the GM guy or assistant GM guy. Toxic. Mm-hmm. No toxicity. Yeah, other than the racist first baseman.
Sure.
Again, from the I don't know about baseball stuff. Isn't Acuna an Atlanta Brave who got suspended this year for beating up his wife?
No, Acuna is their MVP caliber player that tore his ACL, and that's a different Acuna.
He didn't more domestic violence anyone?
Oh, yeah, I don't want to speak on that one. I don't know.
I want to leave reliever. From the amount of times you guys are just saying Acuna.
Oh, you like, know what? I'm so sorry. I got my names mixed up. The Astros reliever I'm thinking of is Ozuna, I believe.
Yeah. Acuna did some fucking domestic violencing. But again, I think you're right. He's out because he tore his something.
Baseball player.
Yeah. Here's the answer. I don't think that the Astros are cheating more than your average bear now. I think they're cheating the same amount that the rest of the major league teams are cheating. But, and so, yeah, if they win this title, I think it's clean. But the problem is you're never going to get that stink off of you, okay? People will automatically, you are now a perma-villain. That's just the way that it works. And so, yeah, no, not only are they not going to, they're never going to give you credit for 2017, they're not going to give you credit for this title that might, that is probably won on the up and up. Now, that doesn't matter. If there's something that I've observed, the people who were Astros fans are like now dug in on this whole thing. And that might be stupid.
Like Trumpers.
I was going to say, you now
they're trying
have
to stop the steal.
You have, I don't want to say, I don't know what the right word is. It's not iconic, but there is your fan base. I now identify you with the Yankees fans, the Red Sox fans that are just like, well, you can't fucking talk to them. Okay. There's no, you can't have a reasonable conversation with them. And while that's annoying, I would say, wear it like a badge of honor. You're the fucking Astros fans who refuse to really cop to the whole cheating thing. And you're just as insufferable as the Red Sox and Yankees fans. I mean this in a good way. I'm telling you this as a compliment. Good on you guys for banding around this team because Houston fans, you got weak spirits, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Go look at the stands at Texans games. All right? I don't see a whole lot of people.
They're going to be 2-15. It's not weak spirit. Oh, it's spending your money.
Where are they going to get the two? Where are they going to get the other one?
We have to play Jacksonville again.
Yeah.
Tyrod's coming back. We're in good hands.
We'll get to your Texans in just a moment. Okay. So
Tyrod's coming back, guys. Just hold on till then.
I had Astros Tyrod. 5. Do you guys have? Nick said 7 this morning, right?
I got Astros 6. Okay. If they win tonight. Right. If they don't, the Braves probably win the series.
That's it for us today on First Take. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Jalen Rose's wife.
Disrespectful.
Anybody?
Yes, disrespectful.
Molly.
That's just weird then. Why is it disrespectful?
Because you're saying she doesn't have her own name in the industry. She's just some man's wife.
Tell me one other thing about her.
I can't even tell you her real name. I don't know.
It is Molly.
Molly Queerum? Q-E-R-I-M.
Molly Rose, bro.
Okay.
That sounds like a stripper's name.
Yeah, it does.
That sounds real exotic.
She can't take
Molly
his name.
Rose. Damn.
Okay, to the personal beefs section of the podcast, I got a thing I wanted to bring up here. Spoiler alert, maybe repeated in tomorrow's That Guy segment. My guy, Dave B.
Aww.
He's a great friend. Mm-hmm. Very, very good friend. Mm-hmm. On my now every other week breakdowns, he's the one who reaches out who I'm like not annoyed by.
Thanks.
You're pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm sick of it.
I don't know. Whatever. He's a good guy, all right? He understands that I hate phone calls. So sometimes he'll ask me for a phone call knowing that I'm not going to enjoy it, and I try to be a good friend and give him a phone call back because he wants to ask me a poker question or, I don't know, something about Spurs season tickets. It was too long to text, and I definitely believe that it was textable. Dave is a phone call when a text would have done guy. Don't be that guy. That's fine. Just let me say something. If the mics are on and I'm saying the F word over the commercials, you can call me.
This is how much of a good friend I am. I was fucking working. I was Ubering with people in the car that they would get pissed that I was texting and driving. But I was like, my man's about to go down in flames and get fired. I don't care. I grabbed the phone and texted Hot Mike.
So, yeah, I think I'm not supposed to address it, but the you guys on the podcast, Friday?
Yeah.
I got done playing that goddamn 8-bit music game that I hate, and I was already...
I knew that was going to break your
brain. I was already hot under the collar about it.
To that degree.
And I was so mad that how long a zombie was the tiebreaker, and we used the radio edit length. And so, yeah, we got done, and I just could not wait to start bitching about it. And so I just took the headphones off and just started going. I've never done that. Like, 21 years, I don't think I've ever just left the mics on. That's, like, the most amateur fuck-up you can do. But I did it. Just left all the mics on. And,
by the way, you turned them off for this, right?
There may have been.
I like how you look through the screen just to make sure.
That's what we've all been doing this whole entire week. It's just somebody swears and we all look down and make sure everything's off.
Theater of the mind, if you're listening out there, powers that be. And it's not really a finable offense. Let's not test it. But yeah, I might have fired off a couple of F words. I just get a text from Dave that says, Hot Mike, and I'm just thinking of all the times that he's called me just to ask me what I would do with A7 offsuit in the big blind if it comes to it. And I'm like,
you wouldn't have answered anyways. You'd been like, this guy knows I hate a call.
But I would have stopped and looked and been like, whoa, what's up? Hang on. Something is up if Dave is calling me in the middle of the show. And so, when it was just a text message, I was like, that is rich. But if you're telling me that you were Ubering, I suppose you were out there repping for your guy anyway. So thank you. There's going to be no F1 content on this show. Do you know any F1 things from Ubering the people around?
Yeah, Verstappen won.
Right.
He beat out Hamilton. Hamilton had the fastest lap.
Million time champ who came in second.
Red Bull has pushed all in on the 2021 season. There's still two or three races left. Anyone's game, but Verstappen is in good position.
I was told there's like a whole bunch of human trafficking things that go on in F1. This is your angle, Nick.
Yeah, sounds about right. It's just like the Super Bowl and everything else.
You should shit on the F1 because, apparently, like, Russian billionaires flying around on private jets fucking and just stopping somewhere in Taiwan to pick up a couple of fucking sex slaves. I made up all of the countries involved there.
Yeah.
And I've also not read any actual story on this, but it seems like...
I'll say this.
Seems correct.
Versus years past, there was not a lot of international flair using rideshares. That's all I can say.
Well,
I'm not saying there wasn't a lot.
Travel restrictions, right?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, is it
not come here?
But it was heavily attended. I don't know if it's because the F1 series is taking off on Netflix, so it's piqued more people's interest.
I tried that. I watched the three quarters of the first episode. I couldn't go any further.
You made it a whole 45 minutes.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care.
This is terrible. It's too far away. Like, actual Circuit of the Americas. Like, it's just too far away. I might as well be in a foreign country as far as like me caring about it.
Okay.
I got personal beef with Travis County. They knew this was a hard deadline. They finally started working on the roads out there to make it two lanes each way instead of one and one. That's why traffic is always such a nightmare. They missed the deadline. Who cares now? Just let it sit and be shit until next, you know, August and start working on it again. You needed it to be ready for this weekend, and it was not ready.
I guess that track has worked out, right?
Yes.
Like, I remember when they first put it in, and we were like, oh, it's going to be the biggest deal ever. And then
it hasn't been a complete disaster. I don't know if it necessarily worked out.
The first time they had it, I was like, this is what's the... And
now there's IndyCar races here, NASCAR races, concerts.
Don't love going to the concerts, though.
You wouldn't have gone out there to see Shaq be a DJ for 45 minutes and press play on his MacBook?
Nah, I wouldn't have. I would not. I didn't and wouldn't have.
I wish this would have been 10 years ago to test Jason Dick's spirit and will. There is a private concert of Chainsmokers and Travis Scott that was kind of a big deal down there at the Statesman parking lot.
Travis Scott.
And no, he doesn't like them, but he would have... Young Jason would have been like, I bet you I can get in there. I know enough people. I'm a big name in this town. Let me see. He would have done it just to see if he could do it. This version of Jason's like, I'm not getting out of the house.
Yeah. I would have done it not just to see that I could do it. I mean, I would have done it. It would have been done. Consider it done. All right. I used to do things. I used to get things done. Now, don't.
Dude, I bypassed you and went straight to the head, the CEO of Global, to been like, hey, is this anything the CEO of Global could get me into?
Global.
Yeah.
Man, head of Global in a while.
And he was like, let me make some texts. And then he never got back to me.
Hey, I'm on ESPN. You guys know the NFL is still happening, right?
We're only 20 minutes in, bro.
And we haven't done any
football
stuff.
This is what people tune in for.
I'm about to fucking ask for a poker story. It's either that or a loaded gun.
World Series Poker is going on right now, man.
Tell me all about it, please.
Oh, man, Jeff Platt, friend of the pod.
Yeah, down to two tables or something.
I think there's only 10 people left. It might be the final table.
Well, there was only a couple minutes left when I stopped paying attention last night. But yeah, shout out to
Jeff Platt,
local broadcaster who gave up to go to Las Vegas and follow his degen dreams. Glad to see it's working
out. Future Jason Dick story.
There's nine players left.
Oh, Jeff Platt's there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What's his position?
He's eighth out of nine.
Oh, okay. Ladder up, Jeff. Okay. Y'all have any beefs? Anything you want to get to? Or just straight to the NFL?
I'm going to jump in real quick and have a personal beef with Nick, because I'm pretty sure the only reason he said yes to this pod is so he can make some sort of reference as to how he beat me in Kenny's League over the weekend.
Just what you're doing is embarrassing.
You're embarrassing.
Well, I have three wins. What do you have?
One.
Yeah.
Once again,
I'll let
Saquon
you right
Barkley,
now. $22.
Let me down. You played me the week where Austin Eckler's on a bye. Zach Moss is on a bye. Someone else is on a bye. Oh, Antonio Brown hurt. Like, what can I do? I can't keep a healthy team.
You can pick up the number one waiver running back, Dearness Johnson.
But it was only for a week. He's not going to do anything the rest of the year.
So
he does
what?
Not
you have
more
Gabriel
than...
Davis on your team. Drop him on principle and start air.
No, Gabriel's going to be good one day.
Okay.
Last time I dropped someone, they ended up being an MVP. So I drop no one now. If you get drafted to my team.
Well, that's good news for Carolina Panthers backup tight end Tommy Tremble.
Yep. He's going to blow up.
Nick did. He has accused you of giving up on your team. And I was, my team, God fucking Kenny, I can't believe. I have a super team that I was like, this team could go fucking 17-0. And I was going to 17-0 and quit Kenny's league forever. Then he beat me last week, and so I can't. But I was not only did I want to go 17-0, I wanted to do it while making zero waiver moves. And then when I went and checked the standings, I saw that I had made four, and they were preseason moves. I was like, that shouldn't count. But then I saw, you've only made three. Your team has only made three.
He's up to four. Commissioner. It can be a pain in the ass, and I don't have time to do the spreadsheet. And I put
Bullshit.
In a waiver.
Shit, it takes you 5 seconds. It's Control C, Control V.
I put in a waiver request Tuesday night. I don't know if I'm going to get the guy or not, and then I'm getting yelled at it Thursday because I didn't update my spreadsheet.
Do you not check your waiver results?
Not for that league.
Well, just anyway, based on how you're running this team, he should kick you out.
Why?
Because this is somebody who is not running a team. What you're doing.
Jason, am I running my team, yes or no?
I don't pay attention
to. You lose Saquon Barkley, you let me get Devontae Booker. Go get the replacement of the guy you just lost.
I don't believe these people are going to be worth picking up.
You started Ty Johnson.
Because I needed to put a warm body in.
You know who's a warm body? The guy who is taking the position and starting over the guy who just got hurt. That's a warm fucking body. Not the third Jets running back.
It's the second.
This is not going to sound like a defense, Dave, but I'm going to defend you in saying I don't know that he's given up on his team. He just fucking sucks at fantasy football.
That's fair, but it's hard for me to imagine. Like, I know Dave. I've talked to him about sports. I can't put together that he is this bad at it, other than the fact that he just doesn't care. Also, reverse beefs on you. My enthusiasm for this podcast has maintained a baseline level since the very beginning. Don't blame me on listeners, because you can sit there and seem all cool to your Twitter friends.
Hey, I throw these out a lot. You guys don't always respond. It's mainly Jason's fault that these don't get done more, listeners.
No, it's your fault. It is your job every Monday to say, hey, are we doing
a
sports podcast?
Nobody's fault.
And then we're going to sit there and me and Jason will be like, oh, this is terrible. But I'm like, I have to be here anyway, so it doesn't matter
nobody's
to me.
Nobody's fault.
I'm not gonna produce a podcast that I'm not going to sit there and be the co-host of. So that's on you, dude.
That was a healthy selection of personal beefs there. Let's go to that National Football League that Nick just mentioned is still in business.
Patrick Mahomes, did you see what happened to him?
I don't know if I've ever seen a year like this. And I say that all the time, and then I'm like, oh, yeah, last year was like this. We're 7 weeks in, right?
Yep. That sounds correct.
I think it is basically impossible to say this is the best team in football. And, in fact, I don't even know that you can narrow it to two or three. Who's the best team in the NFL, and why is it not the Cowboys?
Well, it would be the Cowboys with Dak, but since he's going to miss this week, who knows how long this calf lingers. You know who the backup quarterback is? You have to.
Cooper Rush.
Yeah. What an embarrassment. We've seen what this guy can do. He's been in the league for 4 years.
Who has been starting for your fucking team all season?
Is my fantasy team a real NFL franchise, Nick?
I'm talking about the Texans, Davis Mills. And the Texans.
Oh.
Man, you got Nick worked up, buddy. hang on. Is it embarrassment? I'm confused what you're saying. To have Cooper Rush as the backup? What do you mean?
Yes. Why would you not have a quality backup when everything else is there?
See, I don't know. And every time I say this, you can just bring up the Nick Foles corollary, and then it's over for me. If your starter gets hurt, it's over, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's over. And like last year, they had a quality backup. They had a QB1, Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
And yeah, he went in the game, and then he went to sleep. And so, yeah, I just think if your starter goes out, you're fucked anyway.
I also think that people are kind of, like, I'm not saying Cooper Rush is going to come in there and it's going to be like no change from Dak, but he's not Ben DiNucci. Okay, Cooper Rush is,
he's worse than Ben DiNucci.
Look, Arizona is the last team that's undefeated. So they would seem that you would have to make them number one. And if you make any sort of power rankings, I think it's only fair that you put them number one.
Counterpoint, Cliff Kingsbury attempted an 80-yard field goal. Like, that should just... earlier this season, right?
It wasn't 80, but it was like... It was returned for a touchdown.
Yeah, luckily, they didn't bite him in the ass. They still won the game. That should nullify you from everything.
Well, and the fact that he got COVID and didn't coach and the team played its best game of the season, I'm like, oh, that seems a little...
Like, when they're showing you the graphic, when you're watching the game and it says Arizona Cardinals, whatever, and O, there should be an asterisk that says they once attempted a blah, blah field goal.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just all kinds of untrustworthiness about that team. The Rams might still be my pick. I really like the Rams, but they have some, you know, they lost to the Cardinals, and then they have some games where you're sort of like, are they sleepwalking through here? And I don't know if that was the case versus Detroit. That was probably the most entertaining game this past Sunday, because Dan Campbell is just like, I'm going to fake punt it. I'm going to fake punt it again. I'm going to fake punt again. Yeah. Just not
gonna, he's a boss. I loved it. Did they onside kick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, so they get the ball. They get an immediate long touchdown, DeAndre Swift. Then they onside kick it and get it. And then they run their shitty offense and have to punt. And then they fake the punt and get it. And then later in the game, they're lining up to punt again. And they fake the punt again and get it. Which, I don't know who the special teams coach for the Rams is. Fired, right? Like, if you give up an onside kick and two fake punts to the Lions.
Are you arguing he should have seen the second fake punt coming?
No one does two fake punts.
I mean.
Tampa Bay is the reigning champion.
Their secondary is god awful. And yeah. You know what? I'm very confused because I thought you could not run on their run defense, but I think the Bears guy just put up like almost 100 yards, and it's not like they're known for having a good rushing attack.
Green Bay 6-1. We don't talk about them.
Because they make it to the NFC Championship game and don't win.
Well, just because also that team is Aaron Rodgers.
I don't know what to think about Buffalo.
Here's what you think about Buffalo, is that they were a quarterback sneak away from winning that game.
Right.
And
bad spot, too. Probably should have won if they spot the third down ball right.
Well, that was kind of a fluky thing. Josh Allen slips. He was undefeated in one-yard rushes, that situation type thing. So I think that you should still count them. And the fact that, you know, you lost against a team that has Derrick Henry, like, that's not fair.
I don't know. I appreciate that the coach wanted to, like, win it right then and there. But at the same token, if you have the better team and you know you have the better team, which I think we all agree Buffalo is the better team, then why don't you just kick the fucking field goal and
beat them
in overtime?
Because if you don't get the ball, Derrick Henry just keeps running down your throat. You never touch it and you lose. Go for the win. Go for the win every time. You can argue play selection. You can't argue to go for it.
Derrick Henry, now I'm doing this from the top of my head, and it was stolen from another podcast anyway. Guys, I got a Jason Dick original thought coming up in a moment. Boom, teased. Joe Mixon is second in the NFL in carries with 123. How many?
I know the answer.
Does Derrick Henry have?
163 or 161?
What's your guess, Nick?
4,700.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know, he owes Kenny $100 million. I do. I do. He was making a bet on this guy is definitely on this team.
Andy Isabella. I thought he was Paris Campbell on the Colts.
Everybody's yelling about, I'll bet you, I'll bet you, I'll bet you any amount. And Kenny's like, I'll bet you $1 million. And I was like, bet me a real amount because I know you're not going to pay $1 million. I was wrong, too. I was on Nick's side. And Nick says, $100 million and reaches out, shakes hands with Kenny, and then realizes, no, Andy Isabella is on the Cardinals. You owe Kenny $100 million. What's your payment plan?
To delay, delay, delay.
I mean, he still owes you from Uber. What's his payment plan?
I mean, I do not owe. I have fulfilled the contract for Uber. Okay.
Nick gets real dicey with the, you know, the honor of his
word. I get real dicey
word.
When people make slanderous comments like, I did not fulfill that contract.
All right. That's fine.
And
I
did.
To derail you.
He wrote a bad contract. I fulfilled it. Not my fault. Was also pressured into doing that whole thing under duress. It was you go Uber or get fired. Look, what's your thing with the whole lottery? Like, you don't play the lottery until it's like a bajillion-dollar jackpot because of the positive expectation of value. $100 million, I will take that bet no matter what.
Did you expect Kenny to pay you if you were
right? Just
because
of the amount of money
that I can get
by winning. No.
Yes, but yes.
I also was 100% sure that I was right.
Yeah, and you were wrong.
This is Gummy Bear Nick, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, just medium bear.
That was when I took my conglomeration of melted Delta 8 gummies, yes.
Joe Mixon is second with 123. Derrick Henry has 191. That's like...
It's the third most ever in the history of the NFL
They were up 27-3 in the fourth quarter and still running him. I'm like, get him out of the game. Now, I know he's a robot or an alien, and so it doesn't matter, but he's like three full games ahead of the guy who's in second place. Like, the you know, Mixon gets the ball.
Speaking of, I know that you don't ever want to just raise the white flag, but I was surprised that Mahomes was still in there in the fourth quarter when it was 27-3. I was like, get him the fuck out.
I think he's like the only guy. There's a handful of guys who you like don't want to give up on down three scores with 8 minutes just because of the magic of that offense. But it hasn't. Here, let's skip straight to that. I don't know. Here, who's the best team? I mentioned all the Dallas.
I'm going to say Bills, Bucks.
You think the Bills are the best team?
Yeah.
Mm.
They until Tennessee, they had like the number one scoring offense, number one scoring defense. I don't know where they're at now, but they have a good offense. They have a complete defense. That's your number one team.
There's a couple of two lost teams
Cowboys
to mention.
Top four.
Cincinnati, Baltimore. What's up? Joe Burrow, 400 and whatever yards. The Raiders. The fuck is happening there? How much do they hate John Gruden?
How terrible was John Gruden?
Yeah.
As a coach? Because
this guy has no head coaching experience, right? Wasn't he the special teams coach?
The guy who was in charge.
Like, just a lifer. Well, I'm happy for him. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, but I think Nick is right. Like, how much was Gruden just meddlesome there? And, like, when you take him out, it's like, oh,
Well, look, what yeah. if you
it's
owned,
literally
if you
owned, the addition by subtraction, you know, that's what
it's
about.
And they did
about.
It without one of their best players.
Josh,
Waller was
Josh Jacobs' whole thing in playing for Alabama coming out is like he catches the football, and they refused to throw him the football. Like, you can point to, they have
Isn't Spider 2 Y Banana a
tight
pass?
End play?
It's not a pass to the halfback?
No.
Halfback didn't run out to the do a thing?
The tight end is the Y.
Oh. Who's the banana?
That's the route that the tight end is okay. running.
Anyway, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Vegas, they're all maybe good. Kansas City, what the fuck? What is going on? Like, we knew the defense was historically bad, but they scored 3 points. On Sunday versus Tennessee, who just gave up a million to Buffalo. Pat Mahomes keeps having these interceptions that are deflected and, you know, the tipped balls. But at some point, you're like, hey, when you make all these risky throws, you're going to have a lot of balls tipped and then intercepted. Go ahead.
They are a very careless team. They keep thinking that they can do these shovel passes and he can just throw it off the back foot across thing and whatever. And so it's partially, regression to the mean. The fact that they were that crazy with offense the past couple of years is, you know, they were playing above the rim. And now they're returning a little bit. I think that the league is partially catching up to their guys, to Tyreek Hill, to Travis Kelce. You know what it is? Here's the answer. Travis Kelce should have never shaved that beard. Okay. I'm just saying. We did this about Justin Herbert last year. Got his coach fired.
Cut his hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andy Reid already has heart trouble. You're going to kill him, Travis Kelce. Oh, no. Grow your beard out.
Oh, yeah. This was going to be reckless speculation, but I just wonder how much his personal life is affecting Andy Reid's focus. Ever since his son got in that DWI accident, like, things haven't been right. He already lost one son to drugs. Now his other one's facing like criminal charges for stuff. Like, is it possible?
He said DWI accident. Didn't he kill a kid?
No. She's injured.
Damage. Oh, yeah, brain damage.
He didn't kill somebody.
No, okay. They didn't. No, he did. He did rear end someone, and the 5-year-old girl is in bad shape. But like ever since then, it seems like.
Yeah.
Well, it's also just, you know, it's hard to maintain dominance in the NFL. It's hard to keep your team together.
But he's so creative and smart and changes things and has like all the mix-match answers.
I'm not saying this is the case.
Well, before he won the Super Bowl, Andy Reid was known for, you know, mismanaging the clock and doing, you know, he never would run the ball enough. So, you know, again, just it's a regression to the mean for all these guys.
I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm at least considering the idea that we got out over our skis, that we overrated Patrick Mahomes. It was a small sample size, and that he's not as good as we thought he was.
It's like a 3-year sample size. That's not really small.
I mean, like, I'm but trying
it,
to
it
think of a
It was also just his
comparison.
Entire career. I mean, his sample size has been his entire career. Well, he was legendary until now.
He played in the Big 12 in college, so he played against my Longhorns every year. I don't remember him in college.
Correct.
Now,
it's
I drink a lot
thing.
During Texas games, but I don't remember a Texas Tech game. It seems like if he was the greatest quarterback ever to do it, that there would have been a time that I would have been like, holy shit,
he
who's
was
this
also
guy?
Not throwing to a single NFL caliber receiver.
No. Here's the deal. He was also coached by Cliff Kingsbury, who kicks 80-yard field goals because he thinks he believes. So,
yeah. I'm trying to think of a player from another sport.
I mean, look, the
baseball,
Golden...
you could pick a bunch of them, but they're all like steroids related. The same sport. Odell Beckham Jr. Like, he's now just average, right?
He's not even average.
Not even average.
He's pretty bad.
There was a time where we were like, he is the wide receiver talent of the future. Is he just hurt?
No.
Or is it just that we all just saw him catch a ball with one hand versus the Cowboys?
He believed his own hype is what I think happened.
No, he doesn't mesh with Baker Mayfield. They do not work together. You got to just get rid of one of them.
Okay.
I could bore you with the science of the fact that like Odell Beckham Jr. is his things are making double moves to get open, and Baker can't see him make these moves because he's not tall enough to look over the line, so they're having a disconnect, and Baker's being forced to. I listened to a Miami based podcast
breakdown.
That is somehow fans
go.
Of the Cleveland Browns. What up, Mike? Nobody knows who that is, but. Like, there are reasons, but it's also just like he just doesn't, they don't mesh well. I mean, we've seen this happen in the NFL numerous times with players where they don't mesh well. You get rid of them, they're good.
Okay. As of this recording, Deshaun Watson plays for your Houston Texans, Dave.
He does not play for them. He is yeah, on the team.
That is correct. The trade deadline, I believe, is a week from today. There was a time where he was saying he would only go to the Dolphins. Now he's saying he's open to other teams, and that's brought the Panthers in. And I think that actually gives him the best chance to be traded this season because it's clear nobody's offering what the Texans want. If they can ramp up a bidding war, then maybe they get to whatever that price is. First of all, do you think he'll be traded before the deadline?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because somebody matches their what the Texans want, or because the Texans go into reality of knowing that they're trying to trade away?
They're not going to get more in the offseason.
He's not convicted. Accused.
He's a
accused
groper.
Rapist.
Isn't he a groper, not a rapist?
I mean, he came on somebody's hand.
An exposer?
Some of those allegations are sexual assault, which I believe is rape.
Oh, okay. So I'm not defending him any way you slice it. He's a fuck up. But yeah, no, I think they're going to get a better offer now than in the offseason.
I mean, look.
You think the offer? Well, see, here's the deal. Is in the offseason or in a year and a half, he's under contract for 5 more years or something like that. At some point, this legal situation will be put into the past. And that's when his true value can be recognized, presuming he's not in prison, which I don't know. I mean, he's not. But that's what's holding things up right now, right?
But if they're not trying to trade him right now before the trade deadline, then why the fuck aren't they sticking him out there to try and make him play? Because if they do that, then the NFL has to make a decision and they stop paying him this salary. But they're like, we can still get something for this asset right now.
They don't want to play him because they don't want him to get hurt. Then you can't trade him at all.
Well, I don't think I think they would love to not trade him. I don't know if he would play. I think he might refuse services because he's told them he doesn't want to play.
And then you can stop paying him.
That is, Dave, you scooped me on my one original thought. motherfucker, how dare somebody have my own original thoughts?
Unteased.
I consider the severe malfeasance on the part of the commissioner's office in that they haven't addressed the situation, that they haven't, just say, hey, is he going to be on the commissioner's exempt list, or is he allowed to play this season? And I think that if I'm the Dolphins, or I'm the Panthers, or I'm the Broncos, or I'm any of these teams who might be interested in trading for him, the question mark is he available to play? Like, if we get him, if the Dolphins do a deal that includes Tua and they get Deshaun Watson, can they put him in right now and play him, or is he going to be suspended? So if I'm the Texans, this is the last week before the trade deadline, I suit him up. I'm not going to put him in the game, but I'm going to suit him up and put him on the active roster and just see what the commissioner does. See if the commissioner lets him play, because if the commissioner lets him play, then you're like, okay, he's clear. Until this legal situation works out, he's not going to be deposed till February, so you have him this year. If he suits up to play and the commissioner says, no, you're not allowed to play, then it's over. We'll talk in the offseason.
Yeah.
You've never procrastinated on anything in your life?
Not a single time.
That's all this is. They don't want to have to deal with shit they don't have to deal with.
The Texans?
No.
The NFL.
The NFL.
Oh.
And until there is a legal resolve, they can continue to
Put
be like
him in uniform and see what
the NFL
does.
To make the decision.
Because then you'll know. You will know. And look, if he is allowed to play right now, then he's just a guy who has some accusations against him. And his value is that of the guy who led the NFL in passing a year ago. And you can get 3 first rounders and other parts for him. Put him in the lineup this weekend.
So it seems very clear to me that the only team that is thirsty enough for Deshaun Watson is the Dolphins. But they understand that why give up 3 first round picks for him if he's tarnished, he won't play all that stuff. So they've just been so the Houston Texans told their guy John McClain, hey, there's another team totally interested to drop. This is an obviously a
you don't
team
believe
planted
that the Panthers are really in on it.
I'm sure they're talking to them, but is there like a legitimate, like, I'm sure the Panthers are doing it. Everybody's doing the same thing. We're like, we're not giving you what you want. Don't be stupid. That's how the NFL works, is that the player, the team doesn't have leverage to deserve all this. And it's like, and again, I don't think any of these teams are under the impression that even if they trade for him, that they will be able to play him. I think the Dolphins would trot him out there, but I think everybody knows, like, as soon as you try to start him, the league is going to, boom, commissioner's league exemption. So you're trading for him for hopefully next year. And so, like, why would you give up a whole bunch of picks right now when you can just wait? He's not
the Texans
play.
Need to think outside the box and send Deshaun and Mills to the Dolphins. That way we get Tua back and picks. And
I don't think anybody
like,
wants Tua back.
I definitely don't think anybody wants Davis Mills. Jesus
but
Christ.
That way they have a quarterback, because if they give up Tua and get Deshaun and Deshaun can't play, they're like, what the fuck are we doing? We don't have a quarterback. Now you have
Davis Mills more than any quarterback I think I've seen recently.
He's not horrible. He's better than Cooper Rush.
He makes me wonder if he has fingers.
I have no idea what that is.
Because every time he gets hit, the ball comes out. And I know he's getting hit at a greater rate than most players and probably getting real, real tough shots coming at him. But yeah, just like every time somebody's around him, the ball comes out. I'm like, do you have hands? Are there hands at the end of those arms? What's going on over there, man? All right. Good luck. Good luck, Texans fans. Hope you're all right. At least the Astros are going to win the World Series. All right, here. We have to. Man, look at this. Goddamn 50 minutes. We haven't mentioned the Longhorns.
Hey, we got plenty of F1 content.
They'll never hear this. So let me just ask you this. I was told by an executive with this company, we have those. On my other program, which you guys don't need to listen to even really answer this question, we talk too much Longhorn football. Is that possible?
Yes.
No.
Dave agrees.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a Waterloo Media executive hat.
And can I say something without being a
Of course.
You talk too much Longhorn football that's like superficial shit and not any actual, like if you guys had sources and were dropping knowledge, then I would be like, you're talking the right amount because you're giving insight and doing fresh like looks and
we
takes.
We just do goofball speculation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That,
and at that point,
what,
it's like,
that's what they hired me for. I'm a goofball speculator. Yeah.
You just stir the Kool-Aid. Is what you guys are doing. Now,
That's not on you, though. I feel like Ed, if for someone who's plugged in, should have some sort of sources where he could bring actual reporting.
He's got some of that, but the guy's got a heart condition.
I mean, when I think of like actual reporting on the Longhorns, I just think of Chip Brown. I'm like, ugh. But
what did Chip Brown do to you?
Well, he got it all wrong when we were supposed to go to the Pac-16. Right.
He killed that one guy. Sean, what's his name?
That's not funny. That's on YouTube.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not funny.
I'm just saying.
Not funny.
Oh, I love that guy. That dude was awesome. Enough for me to learn his last name. Sure.
Edit point.
I'll stand by that one. But just because I've had to fill in for you a couple of times with Dave being without, and I know that every time I branch away from the Longhorns, some crusty old man calls in and be like, could you all talk about the Longhorns, please? What do you think about Tom Herman? Should he get fired? That's all anybody cares about.
It just
about.
Seems like it's the most high equity topic in this city. But
I just, based I on my experiences, that's all your audience cares about.
Well, here, Dave, you want some insight, analysis, perspective, reporting? I've written down on the little rundown here, Longhorns, no idea. Because at this point in the season, I truly have no idea. I have no...
sucks because they've played enough games where you have an idea. Like, I don't want to rehash the same, it's the coach's fault sort of thing, but if they go up there to Baylor and blow another lead, then at some point it's like, what the fuck are we doing? That falls on the coach. Are you not making the adjustments at halftime? Or what are you doing that you're jumping out to these leads and unable to continue?
It seems a little too early to be making harsh criticisms of Sark, but I do, there's at least a little part of me that wonders, is this guy an expert coordinator, game planner, and not a head coach? Like, he's got a script of plays, and that's why you go out there at the beginning and you run circles around him for a little while, and then at the end of the game, they keep talking about psychological issues, they got a team psyche problem, and negative thoughts are what is blowing the lead in the fourth quarter. If you want a tangible reason, I would say you suck on the offensive line and you suck on the defensive line. And that is a problem that gets worse as the game goes on. And so you're getting your ass kicked at the line of scrimmage more in the fourth quarter than you are early in the game.
Well, I do think that also, but just as soon as a team starts to come back, they panic.
Well, to Jason's point,
the players and the coaches.
If the other team has good coaches worth the shit and we have these problems, then we get in the game, they figure out in the first half, oh, these are their weaknesses that we have a better matchup on, and then they exploit it and fuck us. I will say this, it's too simplistic, but I really think the Oklahoma State game, as much as I like Casey, it was that pick six in the second quarter. It literally came down to one play. Instead of being up 24-3, it's 17-10. I think if we're up 24-3, we don't blow it like we did against, oh, it's hard to say that, but we just blew it against OU with the bigger lead or whatever. But
well, they also like, had that weird play where the dude stepped out of bounds and they would have been able to pour it on even earlier. And they didn't. The referees were like, nah, 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 he's fine. There was a play against Oklahoma where one of the OU players stepped out of bounds, but they didn't. The refs didn't catch it and let him kind of come back a little bit. I think it was the first time that they scored that drive.
I think I know.
I'm just saying, like,
about,
they're on both of those games, there are two kind of plays where it's like, okay, that disrupted their momentum. Now, still, if you want to be a big time college football program, that shit doesn't matter to you. You go out there and you crush them anyway. But what? I think the answer is just that if you're like, oh, we're being out coached, it's no. It's everybody can see you stop Bijan, you stop the Longhorns. That's what worries me is that we're too Bijan related.
We have enough speed outside with the receivers, and Casey is a good quarterback. He's not great. He's average to above average. He's good enough to get them the ball. Like, even if they stop Bijan, we should be able to do something. If they're putting that many men in the box, our receivers are fast, can get separation.
It also, I don't know enough. I'm not watching the games clear enough to know if this is an issue. But just the fact that, like, whenever they are Longhorns are getting stalled in the second half, it seems like we're doing stupid, just, hey, let's hand off the ball to Bijan on a simple run and let him, like, go do Bijan stuff. Let him try to break one of these. Or they're throwing that stupid goddamn wide receiver screen pass that just goes right at the down line of scrimmage. And then, oh, the guy tackled you. That play's busted. Now it's third and 11. That's my issue. It's like, I want you, like, take Bijan and put him in space and throw the ball to him. And I'm sure they're doing that countless times, but just it seems a very simplistic scheme that we're trying to do, and that's easy to counter.
Look, you can get
hard to say easy to counter.
Healthy real quick at Baylor this week, at Iowa State next week. That's two ranked teams. You just beat the two of them. Life is good, right?
Sure,
no problem.
And then here comes West Virginia,
Kansas before.
Well, no, but I'm not counting Kansas. I'm still not worried about Kansas.
10-0 on Oklahoma in halftime, bro.
Oklahoma, except for the Longhorns game, has looked very poor this season.
They look poor in that one as well.
I know.
What is your new expectations? I must say, if they finish 9-3, I'll be ready to throw a party, because that would mean they would win the rest of the games. 8-4, I'm sorry, I'm just going to be like, meh.
Okay. 8-4 is what I had before the season started.
And I would have told you before the season, if you go 8-4, meh. And I'm going to maintain my meh.
I don't care about the number unless, but if it's zero, unless it's zero losses.
If it's 7-5... I'm officially awarding this season a boo. A boo. Is that fair?
Yes.
Look, we are clearly on to this season. Don't even worry about it. Hopefully they look good for next year.
I saw a dumb tweet yesterday that I was like, ooh, I kind of like that. They were like, please let UTSA in the Alamo Bowl make it happen. I was like, oh, that'd be good.
I don't know.
That'd be fun. They could finally beat a ranked team.
Oh, my God. So I brought this up yesterday afternoon, but I haven't talked to you about it, Nick. From Friday, UTSA, the Roadrunners.
Yeah.
Meep?
Yes.
You guys talked about it on air yesterday or something at point. You said beep. Yeah, it's
Meep.
Yeah,
it's Meep.
Beep, beep. The Roadrunner. Mm-hmm. Beep, beep.
Yep.
Yeah, and I thought I saw a putty cat.
You saw what?
It's putty cat. No, it's putty. But yes.
Also putty tat, right?
Yeah.
Putty cat. Putty tat. No, what is a meep?
It's what the Roadrunner makes. It's his sound.
But the Roadrunner goes fast. That's why he says, beep, beep, I'm coming through here. Get out of my way. Beep, beep, get out of the way.
I'm so torn because
meep?
They have on Wikipedia is beep, beep.
Yes.
But everything else is meep, meep.
What the fuck's a meep?
All
it's
I know
the sound
is
that he makes.
Early on in the season, the UTSA people on my thread were meep, meeping, and so I went along with that.
You got a UTSA thread?
No, on Twitter, UTSA people that I follow. Oh.
Follow Twitter, the UTSA. Okay.
I think this is a, tornado warning situation.
Yeah.
Apparently both are just trademarked for the Roadrunner sound.
Just lose a game so we don't have to think about it anymore, UTSA.
Never. I'll be there November 20th.
All right. Meep, beep. Back in just a second.
We are bringing in one of the most important guests in the NFL right now. You guys know him. He's a five-time Pro Bowler. He is the NFL championship running back. The world knows him as number 24, Marshawn Lynch. How you doing, Big Daddy?
How you doing, sweetheart?
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
Because we're talking Skittles, and we couldn't talk Skittles without talking about you.
Right, man. You couldn't talk Skittles without talking about the kid.
No. I want to talk about, though, the level of love for Skittles.
So
like, it's not just like. Like, you're not just dating Skittles. Like, you love Skittles.
We intimate.
You love the Skittles?
We done became one.
Do you care if I hand it off to you?
Go ahead, put it on in there. I'm gonna give
you
that.
Is there a special way?
You just gotta slide it right on in.
Slide it right in like this?
Whoa! Right in that bread basket, and I'm gonna tuck that thing, secure it, and make sure it's all right. You see as it sit right here on my stomach, because that's where most of them go.
All right, we're back with a meep meep smash and grab mailbag segment. We ever done this? Probably, surely. I know we asked for your...
We definitely asked for everybody.
Basically, so I don't have to think of any more things to talk about. And I put it out on Twitter, and there's actually some interesting things here. Rebecca says, I know you don't give a crap about Texas Tech football. Oh, I love Lubbock, Rebecca. My two favorite lesbians went to Texas Tech. Anybody?
The ones that live in Fort Worth?
Yeah. I'd be interested in hearing a couple of minutes of an outsider's opinion on who they can realistically get the next hire should be. Already getting tired of the fan debates. So it's funny because of my other program. This came up a little bit yesterday, and apparently
the front runner.
Red Raider culture, Red Raider people. I'm not sure who you're even going to say, Dave B., but they have two pipe dream guys, or just two people who they can't hire. They want to hire but can't hire. Art Briles, which I don't know if he was going to have a resurrection anywhere. Maybe Lubbock, where they don't have the internet and they can't find out what he did. And then the other one is Mike Leach, which, I mean, he's not coming there. All right, he's not coming back. First of all, they're not going to hire him. He sued your university, tried to get the president fired, and all that. But I've said this a bunch of times before. That is the moment in the timeline where Biff gives the handbook to young Biff, and the Texas Tech timeline skewed into this alternate 1985, because you beat Texas on Halloween. You were number one in the country in, what was that, 2008? Mike Leach took you to national contention, and you fired him because he put Craig James's kid in a tool shed, which I'm not defending. Probably a bad idea.
It was a fireable offense. I don't think he should have been fired. When it's the best coach you've ever had at that position in that program, you kind of turn a blind eye and like maybe publicly reprimand or do whatever you need to do to save face. But it was a fireable offense.
Of course. And look, if it was anybody other than a famous television commentator and former player's kid, I think he probably skates on that. Now, he probably would have done something else since then to get his ass fired.
Sure.
But yeah, that's where you fucked up, man, was you fired him, and then you got Tommy Tuberville for a little while, and the Kingsbury thing is a nightmare. And I can't even really tell you anything about Matt Wells. I know he was up 14 on the Longhorns with like 3 minutes left and somehow blew that one. that was not good. Sonny Cumbie is the offensive coordinator there, played quarterback there, and he's now the interim coach. I have no idea what to expect from him. Sonny number one, Sonny Dykes, is the coach at SMU. His dad was a legend at Texas Tech. Would you like to move from nice part of Dallas to Lubbock?
Well, even just his programs. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, better.
Today, on October 26th, 2021, Tech is a better program than SMU, but how long can you expect that to be the case?
You think Tech is a better program than SMU?
Yeah, I do. I mean, They're in a Power 5 conference, which I'm ready to abandon our Power 5 identity. Oklahoma can't beat Kansas or can't blow out Kansas. What's good about this conference? The Big 12 should be immediately bounced from the Power
Big
5.
12,
you don't have to wait for us to leave. You just bound to demote us right now. Relegate us now.
SMU is in what, Conference USA? So where they're at is the equivalent of the Big 12 without OU and UT. They're fine where they're at. They're nationally ranked, are they not?
They have to be because I think
he's got the ball
loss.
Rolling. He's in the Dallas Metroplex, a hotbed of recruiting.
Kids can stay there
and not leave home. Like,
I think SMU will be a better job 2 years from now, and so that's why
it's a better job today.
Maybe it's close. But where do you want to go? He's a legend. The Dykes name means a lot.
Way to control yourself.
Definitely my two favorite lesbians from the
I think that Tech I think that SMU is the better job and program, but Texas Tech still has that name value.
It's
like telling somebody you work for Facebook.
Oh, anyways, to get
the Red Raiders or Facebook?
Yeah.
They were never on time. I don't know. That's interesting. Anyway, yeah, do you have somebody else?
To get to your point, like the reporters down there in San Antonio were saying that they might be targeting the UTSA head coach with the job that he's done there. And apparently his pay has become an issue.
Jeff Traylor.
Yeah. Yes, he was like maybe the fourth or sixth highest paid coach in the conference they were at. And now when they switch to this new conference, he'll be the 12th highest paid coach. So he would like some more money. He's obviously shown that he can do something. But, I mean, isn't that kind of what they got with Wells? Wells had developed a pretty good program at Utah State, so that's why they went after him. So I don't. Like, I don't see Tech as a school that has a shit ton of money to spend on coach after coach. That's why they keep getting these names. I thought Holgorsen left West Virginia to go to Tech, but they decided to go with Wells, and that's how he ended up at Houston.
I never remember him talking about Tech. I think I would rather be at West Virginia than Tech as well.
But he's got Tech ties.
I don't know.
Yeah, he used to be on the staff, I think, or maybe he actually went to Tech.
I think he definitely wanted out of West Virginia.
Whose email sent this
Rebecca.
In? Rebecca. Got two words for you. Coach O. Ed Orgeron.
No.
Available.
I don't think that guy's...
He's never
going to
be a head coach again.
I don't know if he's going
to
work anymore,
yeah,
but
yeah.
That would be an interesting move.
He sounds like Lubbock.
Yeah, I was like...
No, he doesn't. He sounds like LSU.
I've never been to Lubbock.
Is it possibly Dave, thanks for throwing shit on him.
Is it possibly a poor man's Baton Rouge?
No, Lubbock
like a homeless
is horrible.
Man's
it stinks
Baton Rouge.
Like
one smells
shit
like pee
the
in the
minute you cross the
street.
City limits. Like it's, they do have a Texas Roadhouse, but other than that,
put that on the sign. Welcome to Lubbock, Texas. We do have a Texas Roadhouse. Matt in DC says my favorite hockey team, Chicago, is at 0 wins in 6 games. That's not good. People are calling for the coach to get fired. The Bears. Oh man, everyone wants Nagy gone. How much does a coach matter? Not exactly totally sure where this is going, but I thought it was a fun opportunity to talk about in what sports coaches matter. Obviously,
football.
Football. The coach is the most important. Is he more important than the quarterback?
Yes.
I mean, that's the question we're figuring out right now with
so just
Brady
in a football organization, the hierarchy of importance is coach number one, quarterback
yes.
number two?
I mean, the Ravens won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer and Tony Banks as their quarterbacks. Yes,
see,
coach
because,
is the most important.
Like, let's say you restarted the NFL and you could, we're going to redraft everybody, including the coaches. Mahomes would be the first pick. It wouldn't be Sean McVay, right?
Yes.
But I don't know. It does seem...
Well, I just
another
I,
example
here,
of coaching. McVay took Jared Goff to the Super Bowl. It's the coach. Coaching is more important.
I
think that what it matters is having both. But I think that it might be that coaches aren't as scarce as good quarterbacks.
That's basically the answer.
Yeah.
That's why the draft example is bad. Is because there's only the drop-off between the Mahomes and the whatever,
because,
the three guys at the top tier
yeah.
is so vast.
When
the
Ravens
drop-off
won
from
with
the
Trent Dilfer and the Bucks won with that other guy.
Brad Johnson.
Like, it wasn't because they were still lighting it up on the offense to begin with. They were defensive teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't like, oh, well, just Brian Billick is awesome at turning shit quarterbacks into Super Bowl MVPs. It was like, no, we just need somebody that's not going to screw this up.
Basketball.
See, coach is important, but not because of the reasons we think. They're important because you're managing talent and personalities.
Phil Jackson
and egos.
Style.
Yes.
Doesn't matter the triangle offense.
Yeah.
It's about figuring out how to coach, get Kobe
it's,
to stop
it's,
being
it's
an asshole.
Score 3 points, but you have to keep everybody together. You have to keep everybody invested. You have to convince your players to get vaccinated.
Come on, Steve Nash. I had to stop and remember who the coach is.
I think MLB
that was a
is
good
the
SNL,
least important.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Everything Nick just said there about baseball is true, but even less important. Because, yeah, there's, I suppose, some strategic decisions that are, there's a lot of important strategic decisions, but they're mostly laid out on, here's what this is the conventional thing to do. The job is 98%. Getting your clubhouse to love each other and to play right. And in baseball, I don't even know how much that matters. And
well,
it's an individual sport where you're all wearing the same jerseys.
If you're looking at Dusty Baker, the manager's job is just sit there and just eat shit from the press. Like, that's his major
well,
contribution.
And that's part of keeping the clubhouse, you know, happy. To Matt and DC's question, hockey, I got no fucking idea.
I got nothing for you, bro. Yeah.
Well, just, hockey is one of those. I think hockey is similar to the NBA, where it's not that a coach is not important, but just that like that's a move that's a quick fix. We can't fire the players; we fire the coach. So I would equate hockey with the same level of the NBA, where your coach is important, but it's also the first move you when something's not working. That's the first thing you go to is replace the coach.
Nick says, how much could that guy who got Brady's 600th touchdown ball have gotten had he kept it? I think we've been around on this pretty good amount. The experts say that it's 500,000. Now there's a new guy saying 750,000.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things seem bonkers to me. But like when you look at what's happening in the trading card space now, and I guess there's like multiple 500th home run balls that have gone for over $500,000, and that's been done 30 times.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only football like it.
The only reason that this is not, I wouldn't say it's more than what the half a million or whatever, is just because this is not like the most important record ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is 600
touchdowns.
It's
the most ever. Like, well, whatever's right. going to be the most important is when he retires. But
somebody right now has 602 because he threw 602 in that game. And so what he's saying is the ball is...
Well, also just like, you know, the ball that I care about is like the touchdown record ball.
The last one.
What did you say?
Whenever he retires.
Well, whenever he beat Drew Brees for passing yards. Whenever you
that
break
one is
a record.
More better than 600?
I mean, 600 I just is just like that's a compiler award. I don't really.
The guy that got it, the fan, was kind of in a no-win situation, in my opinion, as far as the court of public opinion. If you do what he does, people are shredding you for being a dummy. If you say, no, I want to hold on to it and think about it, people are like, this guy's being a selfish dick, jerk. See, like, he shouldn't have even had the ball. Like, Mike Evans just gave it to him, not knowing what's happening.
If it's a couple G's, then I'm like, yeah, that sucks. I had to give that up. I will do it to be the good fan. When it's $500,000 to $700,000, I'm like, that's the life-changing money.
Do you think
I'm
he was sitting in
here.
The front row knowing that it was $500,000 he was holding? I don't think.
Well, that's what I'd say. Consider that a PSA.
Well, it doesn't matter what you knew and how much value. He could have one of the guys from Pawn Stars right there just be like, I got a football guy. The point is you don't give it to some Tampa Bay rando staffer guy. If you're going to give the ball, like I got to talk to Tom Brady. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't just be like, oh, here you go. Yeah, I'll swap it out.
Tom had a busy postgame. He was already helping that kid that beat cancer.
Well, you hold on to it until you talk to Tom. That's what I'm saying. Also,
Tom Brady's got to come to my house, and we're going to have a conversation about this thing.
He gave the guy a shout-out last night on the Eli pad.
Yeah, I don't give a shit because this dude is a 29-year-old, okay? You should just be embarrassed that you took a football. Like, what?
What? No.
If you see a $500,000 bill
in the front
row
and
the
guy just scored a touchdown for the team that you like and he was like, hey, do you want this ball? You'd be like, no, man, I'm fucking 36. Keep your fucking ball.
I would take it, but everybody should point at me and laugh.
No, not at all.
Like, you're right. It's Mike Evans' fault. Like, he was trying to give it to some guys wearing his jersey. You give a football to a kid. You don't give a baseball, or like when you see a grown man catching out there with a glove, catching foul balls or home runs, that's terrible. You should be embarrassed. Same thing with that dude. Just A, wearing a jersey, B, getting that football. Like, that ball should have gone to a little kid. I don't care. But here's my question, though. The guy asked for a round of golf with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I assume that's going to be at some sort of swanky golf club.
Never
going to
happen.
Brady.
Never going
to
happen.
Okay, but just if it does.
Yeah.
Is that worth it to you to play golf at a fancy club that you'll never be able to get into Tom Brady?
Is it worth $500,000 to me? No.
Is it worth the football?
If you're telling me the ball was worth $500,000, then I'm telling you no, that's not it. If he's a real Bucks fan and a Brady fan and it gives him peace to know that he returned it to the team, then yeah, maybe that's a.
I can't imagine there's a guy in Florida that would get peace from returning it to its rightful owner.
There's a real good, cause sure. There's a real good consolation. He's part of the team now. He's part of the journey. He's doing it.
I just feel like when I heard that that was his ask, I was like, that's a pretty good ask.
It's good
as opposed to getting $500,000.
Well, first of all, Tom Brady also gave him a Bitcoin, which just hold on to that for a little while, buddy, because it's gonna be worth more than that ball sooner than later. But also, Tom Brady's never playing golf with this guy because 5 hours of Tom Brady's life, he would consider that worth more than five. He would sooner give him $500,000.
Well, also, he doesn't give a shit about the ball. Isn't this ball for Canton, not for him?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it does seem like he doesn't really care. But Austin says, have the Browns and Ravens officially proved the Gold's Gym running back theory correct? It's always been proven. Didn't need more proof, but yes.
No.
Running the ball in the NFL is about scheme and offensive line more so than who is carrying the ball. Now, are there elite difference makers who are going to make fantastic highlight film plays? Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Zeke, what up? Yes, of course. But if you just want a guy who's going to go out there and eat up clock and yards and get you 146 yards and a touchdown, D'Ernest Johnson is at a fishing boat near you. You don't even have to go to the Gold's Gym. Just go to a boat.
I would say Alex Collins last night proved your counterpoint. That guy couldn't hit a hole to save his life. It was friggin' 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1. Rather than put his head down and go, he was just like dancing behind the tackles.
And because of the offensive line, all right? It's not his fault. If we would have put D'Ernest Johnson back there, would that have fixed things for them?
Yes.
No.
It would have been better.
It would have been better. Pretty ugly. I got to go. I don't have my spirit is not high enough for this, but Julio from SA 6 days ago just sent us a fun internet debate. 2005 Texas, 2019 LSU. Who's better?
Wait, what?
I want to see that game.
The Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson that LSU one. Team versus Vince Young. See, the problem with the Vince Young team is the skill players in that game, because it's not, you think it's Roy Williams, it's not. It's Limus Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay?
But it's Jamal Charles, is it not?
Well, yeah, it is. It's Jamal Charles and Ramontz Taylor.
Well, look, it's...
Anybody for Ramontz Taylor?
What do you think he's up to these days?
Selling drugs.
No, he's a high school football coach.
I was going to say, I was hoping he was coaching like in Killeen or something.
If you look at these guys and how they panned out in the NFL, I mean, Vince Young, yeah. I tell you what, and that's the deal with the Longhorns now. That offensive line and defensive line, all of them went to the league, all right? Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what was badass about the team. The defensive backs on that team, I believe it's Michael Griffin, Marcus Griffin, Terrell Brown's the one who broke his hand in that game, and then Cedric Griffin. Oh, yeah. Marcus Griffin was on the bench, Michael Griffin's brother. Michael Huff is the other safety. Cedric Griffith was the corner.
That's a good fucking...
Those are all four NFL players there. And so, yeah, that's how you... Young Brian Arakpo in that game. Those are the real difference makers.
It's a touchdown game either way. If you LSU tell me players, LSU wins, I believe you. Say UT wins, I believe you.
LSU players have more exciting skill players, and so I think that's why people would lean toward LSU.
I also just
recency bias, but yeah. They don't have BY. BY did not lose. You can say whatever you want. When it comes down to nut cutting time, that guy would get you a first down, a touchdown, whatever needed to be done. It was in his blood to succeed.
We've forgotten about that now. Like we no longer appreciate how awesome it was to see Vince Young versus a then not terrible Kansas team on 4th-and-18 just say, oh, yeah, don't worry, I got this. I'm going to run for it on 4th-and-fucking-18 and get it.
It's similar to the Chiefs where just like no matter how far you were down, you're like, yeah, we got this because we got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That being said, LSU wins by 3 touchdowns.
Three touchdowns?
He just wants to be Stephen A.
Yeah. All right. Mac Brown versus Coach O.
Oh, jeez.
Yikes. I'll take Mac.
Of course. Don't. Jeez.
I feel like the Longhorns would have an advantage in that game just because Mac Brown would somehow convince Coach O to get lost in a locker or something. Like, just. Nah, game's on Sunday, Coach.
Do we want to DB3 it?
Yeah, sure.
It's garbage time. Here's the Dave B3.
Three topics that Dave B believes we have missed in the course of this program. What's up, man?
I don't know if you covered this yesterday on the other show, but what the fuck with the taunting penalty in college where you can take touchdowns off the board, much less the actual call? If you want to penalize on the kickoff, that's fine, whatever. But to take touchdowns off the board, and it was a horrible, horrible call. All the kid did was like maybe
he
like
turn and look.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gave like
a little high step, but not like a look at me, you guys suck.
He knew what he was doing. You know what you're doing.
I don't
do it.
I don't mind the rule. Like, that rule's been in place for a while, actually. like, yeah, that they, if a kid high steps it down the sideline, they will take the touchdown off the board and call it back to where it happened.
It needs to be egregious, though. It can't just be borderline.
That call that he made was terrible. That was really bad. Really, really, really bad.
Ain't no reason to high step except for the showboat.
Oh, my God.
That's it.
Number two.
Are you guys... Where were you always on the Brady spectrum? Because I was always team fucking hate Brady. But this Tampa version of Tom and last night's appearance on the Brothers podcast, version or whatever.
Like Manning cast?
If it wasn't for the fact that I knew his social media was all fake because people are running it for him. Other than that, like, he just seems like likable and fun, and I always thought he was a mega asshole, so I'm wrestling internally with it.
I said exactly this morning to Nick. I was like, I like Tom Brady now. I think he's fun. I like that he, you know, went out and was like the drunk mom at the picnic who never drinks. It's like, oh, look at this.
It was so crazy at the Super Bowl. Yeah,
look at this guy. Yes. Yeah, and like, yeah, he seems fun now, and I think that he, first of all, I think it's totally fair to say he is playing better than he ever has before.
Yeah.
Like this,
he also has better all around than ever before.
He went to the perfect team.
This is like the moon stars of if the NFL was Space Jam.
The what?
The moon stars, whatever. The monstars. The Space Jam. Yes.
They're called the moon stars?
Monstars, whatever.
Meep.
You fucking dicks. That was good.
I was kind of saying, I never hated Brady, but I was always just like, I just thought he was overrated because I'm like, Peyton Manning is a better player than him. Aaron Rodgers is a better player than him. He's, you know, I don't want to say a product of the system, but Belichick put him in so many winning opportunities. He's just not as skilled as them. And now I don't know if that's correct. But yeah, I do like once he's out from under the Patriots, stink or whatever, I agree. He's more fun. I kind of like now, Tom Brady.
I do think that he is getting a bump from just having Rob Gronkowski around him. If it was just Tom in Tampa, no Gronk, I don't know if we're all quite as excited. But my problem with Tom Brady was never Tom Brady. I mean, I think he's corny. I think he's not cool. I think he specializes in dad humor. It's weird how you kiss.
Nothing wrong with dad humor.
Well, it's fine, but that's not... But my issue was always just I was tired of all the fucking Boston guy telling me how he's the greatest or, you know, ESPN not shutting up about him. That's always my issue. So stop. I understand that Tom Brady's good, but we can talk about anything else.
I just thought of another reason to hate him when you said the parade. I forgot he got COVID after it and he kept it quiet because everyone would be like, of course you got COVID. You're around all the people with no mask.
You know what? He had COVID?
Yeah, he got COVID after the parade, but he kept it quiet until like a month ago.
He's got a vaccine though, right?
Oh,
he definitely has the vaccine.
Yeah, yeah, because they were 100% vaccinated.
Oh, right.
No, that was after he got COVID. Tell you what, you still need to apologize for that MAGA hat, okay? Still need to apologize for that MAGA hat.
Lastly, do we care about Marshawn's F-bomb? As soon as it happened, I felt like when Jason dropped a bunch of F-words in front of my kids at a social gathering. He was like, what do you want? You bought tickets to the show. You know what you bought tickets for.
Well, yeah, I can't. It did seem because
I was more bothered that he was eating Doritos during the interview. I don't know if you guys watched the whole thing, but when he was doing his segment, he definitely was eating some chips as it was happening. I would never be on the mic while eating.
I see what you did there. First of all, that whole broadcast is so painful to listen to, regardless.
Like, it is very clunky.
I think less of you, Dave, because of how enthusiastic you are about it. Tune in early.
Well, it was fun. I like it.
Think more of Dave because of what a professional broadcaster he is now when compared to Marshawn Lynch.
Well, I mean, you dropped 3 F-bombs on Friday, so I don't know. Who are we to complain?
4 F-bombs. 4.
The important thing is nobody remembers my shit.
All right. Fun show. Thanks for listening. Sports at KROX.com. I'm Jalen Rose's wife.